Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR, Assistant Director for City Space, Candace Springer. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
What could we possibly be talking about at the top of January?
You know, same old song and dance as usual. We got some new recs for you for the new year.
Yes, yes, yes. We are in January. It's official. Talk to us. What's going on for the month of January?
Well, I don't know if you're feeling like me and it's just like slow to start this year. Like I don't have
yet. Listen, stop and starts and stop and yeah.
So the first one is like, we're going to ease into going back out, right? Like,
thank you.
We need something quiet. We need something soothing.
Okay.
How about that?
Going? Where are we going?
We're going to go to a candlelight concert.
Oh, shoot.
So this is kind of a thing that's been happening across the country, maybe even the world. I actually haven't looked at that. But candlelight concerts are held in more than 100 cities, and they've been attended by more than 3 million people around the world. And we have our own version of this in Boston. They happen all the time, and they're actually pretty fun because they're classical concerts that are usually the music of really hit major artists or bands, and maybe even some, you know, long-established composers as well. So essentially, it's a multi-sensory experience that, you know, will sort of like make you sort of appreciate the music even more. So you go into a darkened space. There are fake candles everywhere, you know, fire hazard. And it's just beautifully lit. And then you're listening to some amazing classical music. Think like Bridgerton for my Bridgerton fans out there. You know how those popular hits were turned into classical tunes? That's what we're talking about here. What's kind of nice about these is they're held in three locations, it looks like, across Greater Boston. There's one in Brookline, one in Cambridge. There's actually one at the New England Aquarium, which is pretty cool too.
Nice.
But most of the performances are done by two local quartets. One is the Beacon Street Quartet, and one is the Rossa String Quartet, which we've actually had at City Space. And, you know, it's a way to experience, again, local music and all the joys and wonders of all of your favorite artists. So I actually went to see the Beyoncé candlelit concert on January 4th. And there are more coming up featuring every artist you can possibly name, from the Beatles to Adele, Pink Floyd. We've got some Vivaldi's Four Seasons in there, some Hans Zimmer. So there's really something for everyone here. And it's family friendly, ages 8 and up, and, you know, kind of giving me date night vibes.
Do they have a candlelight concert for, I don't know, Griselda?
and I see some Griselda at a candlelight concert. You think that'll work?
Well, you know what, actually, Daryl? They actually say if there are any candlelight concerts that you'd want to see, you can go and message them either on Instagram or online.
I'm going to request West Side Gun. See if you could pull that off.
I think you can pull that off. I think they would entertain your request.
Okay. So that's candlelight concerts in Boston. That's happening in various different places around the city. Where can people go to find out more?
You can go to feverup.com or you can just Google candlelight concerts in Boston. You'll find it.
There it is. Boom. Okay. What else we got, Candace?
All right. You know, let's try a film. That feels calm. That feels soothing. No?
Indoors, dark.
Yep.
Kind of similar vibe.
Yep. How about a 3-hour one? Okay, wait. Before you say no.
Yeah, I mean, 3 hours?
What if I told you it was a one-of-a-kind, one-time-only screening of a chronological compilation of scenes from more than 200 films and TV shows shot in Massachusetts?
Like an Instagram stories or Instagram reel or something
like
that.
Like an epic Instagram reel.
Okay.
So essentially, this is a new film called Made in Massachusetts, 100 Years of Filmmaking in the Bay State. And it includes these scenes from 1922 to 2022, highlighting lots of different Massachusetts locations, from the Vineyard to Harvard Square to Great Barrington, lots of landmarks that people will recognize. I mean, a lot of films have been made here, and Boston is becoming a really like popular location for filmmaking.
This is true.
For example, the new movie, The Holdovers, starring Paul Giamatti, directed by Alexander Payne, was shot all over the city. And one of the people who worked on that film is a man named Adam Rothman, who's a property master and on-set dresser. He's the one who helped create this new film that's screening at the Brattle Theater. He's worked on Boston films throughout his entire career. And so he has worked with his fellow producer, Vachi Arabian, to come up with this compilation. And honestly, this is like a classic ode to Boston. You know that this is going to be packed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we love our city. We want to see every single scene that's been filmed here. We want to go look at that. Oh my gosh, I remember that place. And also, it's free. A free
nice.
Screening. So
free. We love free.
We love free. So I don't know, if you're feeling a little nostalgic, if you're feeling some super pride in your hometown, I think this will be a fun one to go check out. And I assume that you don't have to stay there for the 3 hours. My guess is that you can pop in and out.
It does feel like in recent years, I'm seeing a lot more set in Boston. I was really surprised to see the Black Panther sequel with some scenes in Boston, right?
Yeah. Over the Massachusetts Ave Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Exactly, so, yeah.
And then HBO's The Last of Us, right?
Yes,
you know, supposedly
that's a good
set
one.
In Boston, right? That was interesting. So
This compilation is everything. It's not necessarily that it's just set in Boston as part of the film. It could be that it was just filmed here and you never knew that it was filmed here. Kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And where is that taking place?
At the Brattle Theater in Cambridge on January 14th.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with more from Candace Springer. What else you got?
This one's a little weird.
Okay. I like weird.
How about a puppet show?
Hell yeah.
This one's called Moby Dick, which may sound familiar to you. It's inspired by the very, very popular novel written by Herman Melville about a captain of a ship who is obsessed with catching a whale.
Captain Ahab.
Captain Ahab, exactly. And this is actually a play that features life-size puppets that is happening on January 23rd through the 28th at Emerson's Paramount Theater.
Wait, when you say life-sized puppets...
I'm saying your size puppets. Like, these puppets are created to basically inhabit the actors in the show. And there are over 30 of them in this production.
How many hands does it take to operate a life-size puppet?
That's a good question, because there are only 7 actors that are also in the show. So I assume that there is a combination of puppetists or puppeteers and actors who are putting together a reimagining of this story. It's pretty cool. And there also may be a gigantic whale just waiting for you at the end of this production.
Fascinating. And where and when does this take place?
This takes place on January 23rd through 28th at the Emerson Paramount Theater.
All right. Well, Candace, it is that time for us to bring it on home. Assistant Director for City Space, what's going on?
All right. I got to talk to the parents for a minute, particularly the parents who have kids who don't like to eat anything. We are doing an event on January 8th with a father who has apparently cracked the code on how to get your kids to eat everything from oxtails to sushi, you name it. His name is Jack Zhang. He has an incredibly popular Instagram account called Cooking for Levi, in which he cooks meals for his 2-year-old son. He's a chef. He's a stay-at-home dad. These meals are elaborate. They're amazing. And he's going to come to City Space to talk about all of those viral videos, and his new cookbook that is made for parents to show you how you can convince your kids to eat the stuff too. Our radio boss and executive producer, Yasmeen Ammer, is going to moderate this conversation. I hear Yasmeen has a very fussy son, a fussy eater. So we're going to actually bring Levi and Yasmeen's son out and see if we can get them to eat a special little bite during the show.
Okay, okay. Is he saying mommy or umami?
Dad joke, dad joke. Perfect for this moment. Well done, my friend.
What else we got going on at City Space?
Okay, so I know a lot of people are probably, you know, working on their fitness. It's the new year, so for those folks, we got a really fun one coming up. We are hosting a boxing night at City Space. It's going to be an evening of shadow boxing workouts and strength training. We're partnering with Rumble Boxing, which has locations in Natick and Watertown and Somerville, to host this event. And it features your instructor, who is part DJ, part master of ceremonies, part motivator. All of the boxing will be set to hip-hop and house music. It's going to be a party. So if you're looking for a different kind of workout, a fun workout, and maybe a place to meet people, hang out, come to City Space. It's our first field trip of the year. And if you've heard The Common before, you know that field trips are inspired by our Field Guide to Boston series at WBUR. We really love hosting these because they're just fun and different, and we get to transform City Space into a gym for the evening, which we don't normally do.
Yeah, and then afterwards, there's a fight club, right?
Listen, if y'all want to come and create a fight club afterwards, I'm not going to say anything about it.
You can't talk about it.
Exactly. You can't talk about it. So go on. You know, or maybe, you know, you're frustrated and you just need to punch something out. Come to City Space. We will help you with that.
All right. Candace, do I even need to say it?
Yes, I think you do, Daryl.
It's always, always fun. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming through to The Common.
Thank you for having me, and I'll see you next time.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. rate and review us. Let us know how you're loving the show. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, please hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now, it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Samatha Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me from Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.